salvation. And all your people sing along. So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, O God. And all your people sing along. So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough.
Dancing generation, dancing because of your great mercy, Lord, your great.
shouting generation, shouting because of your great glory, Lord. Your great glory, Lord. It's the overflow of a forgiven soul. And now we've seen you, God. Our hearts cannot stay silent. We'll be a dancing generation, dancing because of your great mercy, Lord. Your great mercy, Lord. And we'll be a shouting generation, shouting because of your great glory, Lord. Your great glory, Lord.
Overflow, some shout, some dance. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. When I first came to God, I thought it was exciting when I first came to God. How many people in Pentecost overflowed and gushed with tears, with dance, with shouts, with voice, with praise, and adoration to God. I was in awe. I was used to a quiet church set like a church mouse. And I came into Pentecost. And I thought, these folks are crazy, but they're crazy in a good way. This day I heard a man say, God will never give you a schedule, okay, that there's not enough time for him in. Mm-hmm. Right. And I had to listen to that again. And he said, God will never give you, and say, then you'll take on your own. It said, he will never give you a schedule. There's no room for him. Mm-hmm. Christy's been reading a book about prayer, and it says, the title I think is something like, we're too busy not to pray.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And I thought about all the times that I've prayed, that I should have prayed more. David said in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. He takes ownership of us. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. For his truth endureth to all generations. He wants to own us. He purchased us. He paid the price. Let him know tonight that you're thankful to be a prized, purchased possession of his.
Yeah. my God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and thy blood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Where would I be? You are.
But think of where I would be. I know the parents I came from, and I would be a hopeless case if my mom had not found the grace of God in an altar many, many years ago. I'm so thankful that she found an altar and she raised me in the truth since I was three, because I know I you can see that path that girls like me take, and I'm so, so grateful for the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm overwhelmed.
Captivate your attention with many things in our world, but I want to be captivated with the Lord and be amazed and awe in His excellency and His wonder. I want all the things of the world this year to grow dim in the background, all the glitter and the glitz and the hype and the shock and the awes and the Super Bowls and all that to me doesn't mean a whole lot.
All right.
Not a whole lot at all. Because when it comes down to where the rubber meets the road in eternity, that won't matter. What's going to matter are things that happen in services like this tonight. That's what matters. Thank you.
up, that's your name. I'm gonna lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. I'm gonna raise my hands, I'm gonna bow myself, I'm gonna do my dance because you're worthy. I'm gonna lift you up, I'm gonna bless your name. I'm gonna lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. I'm gonna raise my hands, I'm gonna bow myself, I'm gonna do my dance because you're worthy. You brought me this far, over mountains and through valleys. I'm overwhelmed, I gotta celebrate your mercy. I'm gonna lift you up, I'm gonna bless your name. I'm gonna lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. I'm gonna raise my hands, I'm gonna bow myself, I'm gonna do my dance because you're worthy. I'm gonna lift you up, I'm gonna bless your name. I'm gonna lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. I'm gonna raise my hands, I'm gonna bow myself, I'm gonna do my dance because you're worthy. You brought me this far, over mountains and through valleys. I'm overwhelmed, I gotta celebrate your mercy. I'm gonna lift you up, I'm gonna bless your name. I'm gonna lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. I'm gonna raise my hands, I'm gonna bow myself, I'm gonna do my dance because you're worthy. I can say loud enough, I can say strong enough, I can say big enough, Lord, you're worthy. I can say loud enough, I can say strong enough, I can say big enough, Lord, you're worthy. I'm gonna bless your name. I'm gonna lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. I'm gonna raise my hands, I'm gonna bow myself, I'm gonna do my dance because you're worthy. I can say loud enough, I can say strong enough, I can say big enough, Lord, you're worthy. I can say loud enough, I can say strong enough, I can say big enough, Lord, you're worthy. I can say loud enough, I can say strong enough, I can say big enough, Lord, you're worthy. Can't stop praising his name, I just can't stop praising his name, I just can't stop praising his name, Jesus. Can't stop praising his name, I just can't stop praising his name, I just can't stop praising his name. I put on praising his name, I'll keep right on praising his name, I'll keep right on praising his name, Jesus. I'll keep right on praising his name, I'll keep right on praising his name, I'll keep right on praising his name, Jesus. Turn back, no, I won't turn back, I won't turn back now. I won't turn back, I won't turn back, I won't turn back now. Can't stop praising his name, I just can't stop praising his name, I just can't stop praising his name, Jesus. Can't stop praising his name, I just can't stop praising his name, I just can't stop praising his name, Jesus. Can't stop praising his name, I just can't stop praising his name, I just can't stop praising his name, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I may not feel best in body, and my voice may not be as strong as it normally is, but I'm not going to let a bunch of people in an arena or in a stadium worshiping their God outdo me in my worship to my God. I'll applaud till my hands hurt. I'll lift my voice until it's gone. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're worthy of praise. You're worthy of honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We want to remind you, you probably don't need a reminder because you probably smell some of the same smells I smell wafting up from the basement below us. Following service, we invite you downstairs to celebrate the upcoming birthday of, I'm going to start calling him Elder Ryan Wallace. Turns 40 here in just a few days, and so we want to take opportunity to honor that and celebrate with the family of God. Another one who has gone over the hill, or will quickly be going over the hill. And so we invite you downstairs afterward to help us celebrate that together. I do want to say this in regard to next Sunday night. We do have tickets for sale available for the Valentine's banquet happening next Sunday night. And let me say this. One of the reasons why we are endeavoring to do some things different on Sunday night, change the format, is because we want this. We want to provide more opportunities for other people to come and be a part of what we're doing. And so this Valentine's banquet is a great time to maybe ask friends, family, acquaintances, say, hey, do you have somewhere to take your spouse? If not, we got a banquet. You're more than welcome to come. And I would say this, if you have opportunity to do so, it's only $20. You would probably spend $40 if you went out, just you and your spouse somewhere, and had a nice meal. And I promise you it's going to be a nice meal. We're getting stuff catered in, and so it's going to be a wonderful time together. You're not going to have any better fellowship, I assure you. And so even if you have to offer to pay for their tickets to come, I think it would be well worth the $20 that you would have to expend to bring them and have them be a part of this Valentine's banquet. Again, it is for any and all who want to come. You don't have to be a couple to come. You can come. The tickets are for sale. They're $10 a piece. Sister Grimm has those tickets. They're available for sale. And we encourage you to not only come yourselves, but bring others. Invite other people to be a part of that. And I also want to remind you this coming Tuesday night, at 7 o'clock here at the church, we will have our annual business meeting. A couple of items that we will be voting upon is the proposed new Sunday service schedule. That will be a simple yes or no vote. And then we have an election of a trustee. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I'm going to renominate Brother Tom Kreger, who is one of the trustees of this church, and his term is up. But as is provisioned by the bylaws, I'm going to nominate him for re-election. And if he gets two-thirds majority of the vote, then he will be re-elected as a trustee here at the church. And so that needs to take place during the business meeting on Tuesday night as well. Many of these things we have let you know way in advance. And we do encourage you to come and be a part of that meeting together Tuesday night. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Al, you mentioned something to me, but I didn't get the name. Somebody. Okay. Goodness. All right. Certainly. Let's remember Roscoe and pray. Why don't you stand? I know that there are probably other needs, Sister Holly. Certainly. I know that there are other needs here in the house tonight. If you have any, why don't you just signify that by raising your hand. As we go to the Lord in prayer, if you would like to be anointed and prayed for, as the Bible says, we encourage you to come forward as we begin to pray. And the elders of the church will gather together, anoint you with oil, and pray for you. Let's go to the Lord right now in prayer. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your love, your truth. Thank you that we can come together and bring these precious needs before you in prayer. Lord, we pray for this man by the name of Roscoe. God, the doctors give no hope. God, but you are the great physician, Lord, and you're able to reach into any situation, Lord, to make a way out of no way, to heal the unhealable. God, raise up, God, to strengthen those weakened. God, we know that you're able, God, and we lift him up before you, asking you to work and to move his situation, God. Sister Holly, God, the opposite concerning employment, Lord, I pray that you would give direction, God, speak to her heart and her life the way that she would take, God, that it would be ordered of you. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Elders, why don't you come forward? Let's anoint and pray for Sister Christy. Stretch your hands toward heaven.
God Almighty,
you're in the presence of one greater than the two.
Prince of Peace.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you.
Yeah.
lives in this place. We would be remiss if we hurried past this point. Why don't you reach out wherever you are? Why don't you lift your hands, lift your voice?
strong. Today I'm in need. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. Yesterday strong, today I'm in need. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. Rain on me. Rain on me. Holy Ghost power, rain on me. Yesterday strong, today I'm in need. Holy
amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Davis. I know we've been worshiping for an hour, and I was wondering, do I proceed with preaching? And I didn't know if my voice would hold out. But will you indulge me just a few minutes? Sister Davis, you testifying, I believe, was confirmation that I should go ahead. And I promise I won't take long. But I want you to turn with your Bibles with me to the book of Jude. I'm going to go ahead and tell you the title of what God laid upon my heart to preach tonight, and you'll understand how God works. The title of what God laid upon my heart is this: Three End Time Attitudes to Avoid. Three End Time Attitudes to Avoid. I know that's not a bring the sinners to Jesus kind of evangelistic title. That's a title that's for the church. I believe the book of Jude is a book that's written to the church concerning the end time. So if you'll indulge me just a few moments, I will not spend long, but I believe that it is God ordained. Jude chapter 1. Jude 1. There's only one chapter in Jude. Try to go to chapter 2. It's not there. Jude 1, begin reading in verse number 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Says David, just read it in Psalms. The children of God faileth. There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beast in those things, they corrupt themselves. And here it is, verse number 11. The three attitudes in the end time that we are to avoid. Attitudes that I believe are prevalent in our day and our age, and ones that we should shun. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. They have ran greedily after the terror of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. The three end time attitudes to avoid. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Jude was the half-brother of Jesus and brother to James, the head of the church in Jerusalem. Jude is writing, I believe, to the church of the living God. He addresses the saints. He tells them initially, he says, to earnestly contend for the faith. He says, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Might I say this? It is incumbent upon us to earnestly contend for the faith. Not to compromise, not to capitulate, not to give in, but to earnestly contend for the faith. to believe that what we've always believed is still worth believing. To earnestly contend for the faith. In warning of how the enemy seeks to infiltrate and to destroy, he says, "For there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. They are ungodly men, turning the grace of God unto lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Men that would say such as, "It doesn't really matter how you live or what you do. The grace of God covers it all." That is turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Making allowances for the lust of the flesh. Allowing individuals to feel okay as they compromise. And as they condone things that the scripture specifically forbids. And they allow them into their lives. Simply saying, grace covers. He then reminds them of the Israelites. And for those once saved, always people, I would draw your attention to what Jude said. For he references the Israelites. He says, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of Egypt," he saved them, he delivered them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. But you need to also understand this same Lord that saved them afterward destroyed them because they believed not. Same Lord that created the angels. These angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. The Lord, catch this. These angels, the Lord hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. It goes on to say, even Sodom and Gomorrah. And the cities round about like men are giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh. They are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Jude then warns that there are now similar people now participating in the workings of the church. Children of God who fail. And they fail, I believe, because they have allowed the enemy to let them, if you will, bring about in their heart and in their mind attitudes that Jude warns us against. He goes on to say, "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. They despise dominion and they speak evil of dignities." He goes on to say, "Michael, even Michael the archangel, when disputing over the body of Moses, he brought no railing accusation against the devil himself. He simply said, 'The Lord rebuke thee.' But these speak evil of things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beast, and those things they corrupt themselves." And then Jude notes what I believe to be men who represent the attitudes we should avoid at all costs. Men who represent the attitudes that if we are not careful will become prevalent even in the church in the end time. For he says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." The three attitudes that you and I, as children of God, as saints of the Most High, are to avoid at all costs: the way of Cain, the error of Balaam, and the rebellion of Korah. Three attitudes that if we are not careful, if we do not allow the Spirit of God to guide us and direct our lives so that we do not fall prey to these things that will creep in unawares, we would not fall into the way of Cain. What is the way of Cain? The way of Cain is simply this: comparing ourselves among ourselves. You notice that in the passage where Cain slays his brother Abel, that the Bible does not say, the Bible does not show that the Lord made comparison of their offerings. It just said that the Lord accepted Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering the Lord had not respect.
But he did not compare the offerings. He simply said unto Cain, Genesis 4:7, if thou doest well, then thou shalt be accepted. If thou doest not well, then sin lieth at the door. But Cain compared himself to his brother Abel. Cain allowed jealousy to creep in into his heart and into his mind. Cain did what the Apostle Paul warned us against in 2 Corinthians 10 and 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. One of the attitudes of the end time that we should avoid is comparing ourselves among ourselves, because when we do so, we bite and devour one another. We eat our own. Now pay close attention, because I'm going to say something that might ruffle your feathers a little bit. We need to understand that in this end time, I realize that there are doctrinal differences. I realize that there are other denominations and persuasions that do not believe as we believe. But we also need to understand that there are two forces, good and evil. And if my brother, who may not have the same doctrine that I have, but if he's on my side when it comes to some issues concerning the word of the Lord, when it comes to some issues like abortion, when it comes to some issues that we see prevalent in our day and age, we need to be careful that we don't look at that individual as an enemy, that we don't compare ourselves among ourselves, but we say, hey, if you're alongside me, if you believe in the sanctity of life like I believe in the sanctity of life, I'm not warring against you, my brother. I'm not taking up arms against you, my brother. We're not fighting each other. We are fighting evil. We are fighting the ways of wickedness. And though there may be some differences in what we believe, and I understand there are different doctrines, can we come together on what we do agree? Can we find principles and precepts in the Word of God from which we can raise a platform and say, you are my brother when it comes to what we believe and what we uphold? If other denominations will uphold the sanctity of marriage and will say that they believe that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, then guess what? God forbid that I have an attitude against them and I say, well, they don't believe like I believe in other areas. That may be true, but if they'll hold up and they'll stand fast concerning some things, I can readily agree. Biting and devouring and slaying my brother. See, we need to rise up against evil. Despite our differences, there is more we can find to agree upon than to disagree upon. Brothers and sisters, you may have brothers and sisters in this congregation that don't see things exactly as you see them. And you need to have a substance of mercy that says, I will not slay my brother. I will not bite and devour my brother or my sister. They may not see it like I see it. They may not hold the same standard that I hold. But guess what? I'm still going to love them. And I'm still going to believe with them. And I'm still going to pray for them. I'm not going to bite and devour. I'm not going to go the way of Cain that rises up against my brother because his offering's not like my offering. I'm simply going to say, Lord, I'm going to do well in thy sight that I be accepted, and I'm not comparing my offering. Then there is the error of Balaam. Balaam was a prophet. Balaam was used by God. Balaam, the Bible says, loved the wages of unrighteousness. I'm about to dig deep here. Tell you what, there is a spirit in our day and age. There is, even among Christendom, there are preachers and those that profess to be spiritual, prophets of God, who love the wages of unrighteousness. They will skirt the truth. And they will compromise. And they will allow things and say, well, grace covers. And you can live like this or you can do this. Or we'll accept these things and it's okay. But we need to understand that is the error of Balaam. to act spiritual and to think that we are people of God and that Balaam was a prophet. Yes, Balaam was a prophet, but Balaam did some dastardly deeds. While Balaam may have publicly prophesied good things for the people of God, privately, the Bible says he counseled that they should trespass against God. Of Balaam, an attitude of the end time. It says it's okay as long as it's profitable, as long as we get people in, as long as we have people come and we can compromise and we can capitulate. Oh, no, 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 my friend. We will not have the attitude in the era of Balaam. We will hold truth and we will steadfast. I don't care what wages it may bring in if it's unrighteous and it's not of truth and it's not of the word of God, we avoid it. We shun it. We stay away from it. The Bible says in Numbers 31, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord. Yes, he was used of God. And yes, there are even among church individuals who are used of God. Stay with me. Prophesy. Used in gifts of the Spirit. You may not believe this, but it's true. Men. Used by God. Balaam was used by God. Privately. He had some issues. Privately. There was counsel to trespass, to eat things that were offered to idols and commit fornication, the Bible says. It's okay as long as it's profitable. The Bible says he loved the wages of unrighteousness. We got to be careful in this end time that we do not allow the attitude and the error of Balaam to enter into our fellowship where we just throw open the barn door and allow things because we're trying to make acceptance. And we're, No. That's the error of Balaam. Finally, the gainsaying of Korah. This, I believe, we are seeing manifested greatly in our society today. Open rebellion. I don't know if you saw this or not. And I hope that you understand that I say this with the utmost sincerity, but I saw a sign that was held up at the Women's March. It made my skin crawl. The sign said, Mary would have had an abortion, we wouldn't be in this mess. And I wonder how God didn't open up and swallow them. There is an attitude of open rebellion and defiance against God. So, well, we don't have that in the church. Well, just wait a second. Understand what happened with Korah. It was the sons of Korah that looked in Moses and said, Moses, you take too much on yourself. We decide we want to do things our own way. We're holy. We can make our own decisions. We can do our own things. And Moses, the Bible said, fell on his face before God. He said, the Lord will answer. And the Lord will show who is holy and who is not. And in their open rebellion, in their attitude of we don't need men of God and we don't need leadership and we don't need authority and we don't need to be submitted to anybody or anything. In their attitude of open rebellion, God caused the earth to open up and swallow. What are you saying, Pastor? Simply this. It is an attitude of the end time. And if you think the only place it is happening is in the world, you are sadly mistaken, because there are certain individuals that would like to bring that same type of mentality into the church, where you don't need to listen to pastor, and you don't need, you can forge your own way, and you can do your own thing, and you don't have to be submitted, and you don't have to be under God-given authority. And I say beware of that attitude that is prevalent in the end time, and understand that it is something that Jude warned us against. Woe unto them! Careful of those! Paired themselves among themselves, and loved the wages of unrighteousness, and committed open rebellion before God. Careful. I told you I wouldn't be long. I'm closing. You can stand your feet. Sister Davis, I can readily agree. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I am very concerned. I see our society, the rampant sin. I've mentioned the book numerous times, and if you're a reader, you need to find a book, and you need to read it, a book called The Marketing of Evil. Begin to read that book. The writer brings out some research about where, and I'm going to be careful here because the book is, it doesn't pull any punches. A researcher, the University of Indiana, that is cited numerous times as being a reputable source of scientific information back in the 60s, who brought about who they say was the father of sexual revolution. It wasn't some 30 years later before the research that was in his book was questioned, because the research in his book, if it was performed, had to be criminal. Want to know why? Because the research, the scientific research, which is cited in numerous court cases even today, was done by a man who was a raging pedophile and committed acts of sodomy with children and infants. He only knew the evil that existed in our world. Here's the scary thing. Here's the thing, and this is why I say stuff this serious. We gotta stand against it. Can't allow those things. Oh, that'll never happen to the church. Then why did Jude write what he wrote? It's not going to happen. Really? We've already seen major denominations capitulate. I was grieved to find out the other day, you realize now the Boy Scouts of America have just allowed gender-confused girls can now be a part of Boy Scouts of America. My God. You say it, Pastor. I'm not a doomsdayer. I'm not here saying the sky is falling. What I'm saying is, as a church of the living God, we got to be careful. Even the children of God fail. So there's attitudes that I need to avoid. There's attitudes here in the end time that I need to be careful of. Lord, protect my heart and my mind. I mean, I get so wrapped up in this world. It is a system that is destined for destruction. its ways are contrary to your ways. The will of society is not, I repeat, the will of society is not in allegiance with God. And my hope and my prayer is the church stands firm. The church says, Jude, you're right, Brother Jude. Woe unto them who have gone the way of Cain, committed the error of Balaam, and are part of the gainsaying of Korah. I only preach as admonition, as caution. Saint of God, friend of mine, guard your heart. Gird up the loins of your mind. The world and its systems seeks only to do the bidding of its master, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Don't take the bait. Stand firm. Earnestly contend for the faith. Don't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. Be aware of what's trying to creep in unaware. Don't allow it into your home. Friend of mine, mother, father, don't let your children see you spending more time in front of the television than they do with your nose in the book. I know this is straight preaching. I know it's probably not what you wanted to hear, but oh, that we would understand there's three attitudes of the end time we need to avoid. Lord, keep my mind set upon Thee. Keep my mind set upon Thee. It begins in the home. It begins in what you're doing the other days of the week. And let's come together on Sunday and celebrate the success. And let's come together on Wednesday and study more ways to do what is right. But Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, let's do our very best to avoid the attitudes of the end time. All over this house, let's lift our hands. Help us, Lord. These things be not found among the saints. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. We pray for our country. We pray for the society that we see so steeped in sin. Let us turn to you, God, away from this world and its ways, into your arms. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us, God. Help us, God. We know. Ultimately, you are victorious. The next verse, Jude says, for did not Enoch the prophet prophesy, saying, for the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. I want to be a part of that number. I want to be a part of that number. I want to have stood true. I want to have avoided the attitudes of the end time. And I want to return with the Lord. I want to come back as one of the 10,000s of saints. We sing this chorus just a few times.
In His wonderful place,
Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for the warnings. Great men of God. Oh, let us see. Apply them. We ask your blessing upon proceedings yet this evening. Bless the food that we are about to partake of. We love you and praise you and thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. God bless you. We invite you downstairs to join us celebrating Elder Ryan Wallace. May go in the precious name of Jesus.